नष्टपयेष भादेषु नित्यं भगवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तम श्लोके भक्ति भवति नैष्ठिकी. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, 8th chapter, verses 21, and we'll try to go to 25, but we'll see what happens. So verse 21.
Krishnaya Vasudevaya,
Devaki
Nandanaya cha,
Nandagopa Kumaraya,
Govindaya namah namah.
Krishnaya
Vasudevaya,
Devaki
Nandanaya
cha,
Nandagopa Kumaraya,
Govindaya namah namah.
So now I'll read the translation by Srila Prabhupada. Let me therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who has become the son of Vasudev, the pleasure of Devaki, the boy of Nanda and the other cowherd men of Vrindavan, and the enlivener of the cows and the senses.
Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshya Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Chinamine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pichayane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyat Yadeshtarine.
So before I start, can pass this around, sign your name. Okay. So just sign the names. So yesterday we discussed three different prayers of Queen Kunti. So Kunti was glorifying Krishna as Ishra, the supreme controller, Prakriti Param, beyond this material nature. And also, what else did she say? What? Original person, very important. Adi Purusham, Adiyam Purusham. He is the original person. What else? Alaksham, yes. Yes, the foolish people cannot see. He is invisible. He is invisible to the foolish, to the mudha-disha. So many ways she was describing Krishna and also his relationship with the conditioned souls in this world. And then she described his relationship with the advanced, the liberated souls, and how he comes here to teach bhakti yoga to the advanced transcendentalists. So my question to you is this. What kind of prayer are these three prayers that she prayed yesterday? Which of the types of prayer? How could we categorize the prayers so far that Queen Kunti has prayed? Yes? Humility and glorification, okay? First one. Second one?
Praise.
Praise, yes, praise. She's praising, she's glorifying Krishna. Okay, anything else? I think... Nothing else. I think that covers it. Gratefulness. Okay, I think actually we're going to hear about more about gratefulness today. We're going to hear about a lot about gratefulness, how Krishna protected Kunti from so many dangers. So today, she is chanting names of Krishna. What is the special significance of these particular names that she is chanting today? Why are these names special? Devotees. Yes. These are principal names. They are connected to his principal devotees. So, what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to go around the room. I'm going to ask you each to tell me a name of Krishna. So we'll glorify, we'll chant the holy names in this way. We'll start here. Murli Mohan. Murli what?
Murli Mohan.
Yes? Govinda, yes? Gopinath. What? Kanai? Okay. Keshava. Gopi Janavallabha. Madan Mohan. Yes, can you think of one? Okay, next. Kana, all right? Radha Radhanath. Yes? Radha Vrindavan Chandra. Yes? Radha Raman. Damodar. Yes? Name of Krishna? No? Madhava. Good. Yes? Shamsundar. Okay? Ishodanandan. Gandhari. What? Giridhari. Okay, very good. And if we went around the room a million times, we still would not finish. Of course, we might forget, but there's still enough names that we could go around the room so many times. So Krishna has so many names. In the first prayers yesterday, she didn't actually address Krishna by his name, because first she wanted to establish that he is the Supreme Person. And now she's telling us, who is that invisible person? It's Krishna. She's telling everyone. Because everyone knows there's some kind of supreme, but they don't know it's Krishna. They may think it's Shiva or Kali or something else. But actually it's Krishna, Vasudeva, Devaki Nanda, Nandagopa Kumaraya. So she's trying to tell these people who cannot see Krishna that Krishna is that supreme person, supreme personality of Godhead. But even though it's very clear that Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, still, some people in India, they misinterpret the word Krishna. They say, Prabhupada gives the examples, three different misinterpretations. Does anybody know how they misinterpret the name of Krishna? Yeah.
Krishna means black.
Black. Black means void. So we should merge into Krishna. Okay, that's one interpretation. Another interpretation, anybody else have idea? Yes. Hero lover, yes, yes. They think he is actually mundane. They think he had so many girlfriends, and they can't understand how this can be God. And another way they misinterpret, they say Krishna means black, means Shudra. So Krishna is a Shudra. And some people say he was a black aborigine, Prabhupada said, and he became very powerful somehow or other, and they call him God for this reason. So why do they say like this? Prabhupada explains why. Because they want to make the devotees unhappy. So they misinterpret the name of Krishna in so many ways. This is their pleasure, Prabhupada said. Just so devotees will be miserable. And so this is... So Prabhupada said, to teach these rascals, Kunti is pointing out, Krishnaya Vasudevaya. And sometimes the impersonalists, they like the word Vasudeva because it means all-pervading. So they say, see, God is all-pervading. Vasudeva means all-pervading. But Vasudeva also has another meaning. What's the other meaning of Vasudeva? Son of Vasudev, yes. So right in the beginning of Bhagavatam, we have Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And Krishna, although he's all-pervading, he's still the son of Vasudev. He's still a person. So three times she's telling these mudas, Prabhupada said. First she's saying, this is Krishna. And if you think there's so many Krishnas, then Vasudeva, son of Vasudev. You think there's so many Vasudevas, then Devaki Nanda. He's son of Devaki, son of Nanda Kumara, Gopara. So this is Krishna. Then the last word is Govinda. What's the meaning of Govinda? Gives pleasure to the senses. And Arjuna was thinking, okay, Govinda, you're Govinda. You know what that means? Give pleasure to my senses. No. The only way we can... Actually, if we give pleasure to his senses, then we get pleasure for our senses. Spiritual sense gratification. Actually, Prabhupada said that there is spiritual sense gratification. There's no scarcity of it. If we actually want to enjoy our senses, then we have to connect with Govinda. Govindaya, namo namaha. Because Krishna, Govinda, he's Ananda Maya Bya Sat. Means he's full of Ananda. And so are we. But the reason, why aren't we experiencing Ananda right now? What's the problem? Yes. Yeah, we're disconnected from Govinda. So how are we going to be happy? The only way we can be happy is to connect with Govinda. Now, This word Govinda has many, many meanings besides the one I just told you. And you know who tells about all these meanings of Govinda? The first person in this universe. His name is Brahma. He has told us many, many meanings in his Brahma Samhita. Actually, I'll tell you one. Shisti Stiti Pralaya Sadhana Shaktireka. That this Durga, she's very, very powerful. She is controlling creation, maintenance, destruction. She is just a shadow of his spiritual energy. And she is controlled by him, by this Govinda. So what else does Lord Brahma say about this Govinda? How powerful is Govinda? Yes. Yes, he can only be seen by those whose eyes are anointed with love. What else? What else do we hear about Govinda? Yes. Many Lakshmis and cows, yes. Cows and Lakshmis. What else? Nobody took Brahma Samhita course here. Anyway, also it's described that the sun is so powerful. It's going in its orbit. And this is due to the order of Govinda. That Prabhupada said he cannot go 1 inch out of his orbit by the order of Govinda. Just like there's that one story you've probably heard before, that Lord Srila Prabhupada was walking on the Pacific Ocean beach with his disciples. And he said that, just see how this ocean is only coming up this high. And I'm completely confident that it's not going to come and cover me up, although the ocean is very powerful. It's not going to cover me up. So why did Srila Prabhupada have that faith, that confidence, that this ocean is not... I think maybe Bhakti Shastri students might know the answer. Why does he think like this? This ocean will not cover me. Yes, that's right. Yeah. The ocean has the power to cover the whole city of New York, Los Angeles, but he doesn't because Krishna. Krishna has given his limits. Srila Prabhupada said that Krishna told the ocean, you cannot come beyond this line. You have to stay back of this line. So this is Govinda. Although he is, as you say, with his cows, he appears almost like an ordinary human being, but at the same time, he has this great power. So Kunti wanted to establish this first of all, that who is this Krishna? Who is this Govinda that's standing here before me? She wanted everyone to understand this. So Srila Prabhupada, when he was talking on this verse, he said that somehow or other, we simply have to understand that Krishna is Ishra Parama Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if we understand this one thing, our life is successful. And we can preach also. Prabhupada always gives the example of this little girl, Saraswati, 4 years old, who used to come here in the beginning when the devotees first came to India. She was with Malati, her mother. And she used to preach to everyone, Krishna, do you know who is Krishna? And they would say, no. And she said, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And she did that to Radhanath Swami also. Before he was a devotee, he was at the Pandal in Bombay. He was, for the first time, he met the devotees in Bombay, and he was in the audience far, far back. And he felt a little tug on his arm, and he looked down, and there was Saraswati. And she said to Maharaj, guess what? And he said, what? And she said, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And she ran after that, ran away. So this is preaching. Whatever you know, you can say. You can tell people. So I'm going to ask you what you know right now. But you don't have to tell me. I'm going to ask you to write it down for just 1 or 2 minutes. It's not an essay or anything, but just 1 or 2 sentences. I would like you to write something. And what I want you to write is some glorification of Krishna. Just one sentence, glorifying Krishna. How do you appreciate Krishna? One sentence, or two if you can't keep it in one, like Vishakapriya. You need 2 sentences, it's okay. If you're a writer, write down 1 sentence, glorifying, praising Krishna. Almost finished. Okay, we'll start reading. Any volunteer who would like to glorify Krishna here on this auspicious day? Okay, yes, Rukmavati. Okay, Damodar, all glories to Damodar and his pranks. Anybody else? Nari? Wow, I think you got a lot in there in that one sentence. How many? I think that's worth about 10 sentences. Very smart. Okay, anybody else would like to say something? Yes, beloved of his devotees and very sweet. Okay, yes, would you like to say yours? Oh, great. This is worth a whole essay, all these little prayers in one sentence. Okay, Srimati? Okay, Achyuta, we have Damodar. Govinda, who do we have? Okay, Krishna is far and at the same time very near. He's in Goloka, he's in our heart. Yes, would you like to say? Wow, so much in one sentence, very good. Yes, Vanavali? Dina Bandhu and Patita Pavan. Save me, yes. This should be our prayer. Yes? Same thing. Shamsundar. Oh, right. You're thanking him for Prabhupada. Very nice. Prashanta, do you have... Looks like you have an essay, huh? No, okay. Great. In this time of danger, it's good to think that Krishna is holding us in his arms at this point. Yes? Would you like to say, Krishna Priya? Very simple. That's all right. Best friend. Okay. Vishak Priya? Lalita Madhava. Okay, he lives at the topmost heights of artistic craftsmanship. Okay. It's a quote. Okay. Amrita, would you like to say? You always forget. Oh. Okay. These are very nice prayers. So, did I forget somebody? Shubhangara, would you like to say? Okay, maintainer, supreme. You didn't have anything. You had something? Oh. That's a good one. You know those ropes Krishna has in his hand every day? He's catching the surrendered souls. The unsurrendered souls. Ones who don't want. Okay, yes? Uh-huh. Okay, Giridhari. Okay, he protected the Brijbasis and also saves us from Maya. Are you a Brijbasi? But you want to be. Okay. Very good. So, thank you very much. That was very wonderful. Just, what can you do in one sentence? It's wonderful how you can glorify Krishna. So we're learning how to glorify Krishna as Kunti is glorifying. And so we'll go on to the next verse. We've heard about the names of Krishna. Now we're going to hear about Krishna's form, glorifying the form of Krishna from his navel to his head and again to his feet. Kunti said, let's do the verse. Nama pankachanabhaya. Nama pankachamalini. Nama pankachanetraya. Namaste pankachankaye. Okay, two people can chant. Any two? Nama shaba. Nama pankachama. Nama pankachanetraya. Namaste Pankachankaye. Somebody else? Nama Pankachanabhaya. Nama Pankachamalini. Nama Pankachanichaya. Namaste Pankachankaye. My respectful obeisances are unto you, O Lord, whose abdomen is marked with a depression like a lotus flower, who is always decorated with garlands of lotus flowers, whose glance is as cool as the lotus, and whose feet are engraved with lotuses. So, at the end of the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains how to meditate on the form of the Lord. This is, I think, near the end, not exactly the end. Prabhupada says, one should begin to see the Lord from his lotus feet, gradually rising to the thighs, waist, chest, and face. One should not try to look at the face of the Lord without being accustomed to seeing the lotus feet of the Lord. So first, although Kunti has not started with the feet because she's his aunt, so she thought if she started with his feet, it would be embarrassing for Krishna. So therefore, she started with his waist. But we will start with his feet. And we have the form of the Lord here. We can see from feet to head. And there are also lotuses by all the parts of his body, so that will help you meditate. So now, first we have to meditate on the feet. Who can give me a description of Krishna's lotus feet? It can be from Shastra. Actually, it has to be from Shastra unless you've seen them personally. Of course, maybe you have seen them personally in the temple, so that's okay. But who can give me a description of Krishna's lotus feet? Yes. Partial. That's all I want. I'm going to have someone else have a chance too. Soft as lotus petals. Okay, his nails are like mirrors or pearls. Right, signs on his feet. Chakra, umbrella, elephant goad, chariot, I think it's Radharani. Or Lord Chaitanya. Krishna has a chariot? Radha, I think. That's okay. So any other description? Prashanta? I thought you had your hand up, sorry. Okay, she said it. Shimari? Oh.
It's pink.
Pink, okay, great. Pink, yes? Destroy ignorance, very good. Actually, it's the effulgence from his nails that do that. When his nails, the nails of his feet shine in our heart, and all the darkness is destroyed. Yes? Sorry, go ahead. So, the acharyas say that the feet of the Lord give some medicine, you say, to cure our eyesight? Honey. Lotus honey. Okay. Yeah, so if anybody here, we all have eye trouble because we can't see Krishna. All of us have a problem with our eyes. Yes. Yes. Okay, just like the lotus is coming in the dirty, muddy water, it can grow. As we see in MVT, of course that's not a lotus, but it's a cousin, that it grows in a very dirty place. And so similarly, Krishna can grow in, can come to this material world and he's not affected, just like the lotus is unaffected. Lotus leaf is unaffected by water. Yes, any other? Yes. Oh, so his feet are so tender that you just, a little wind comes and his skin changes color. Okay. Right. So he's saying his feet are soft, but at the same time, they can chastise Kaliya. And actually, what you're saying is what Lord Shiva says. Kapiladev. Kapiladev says that his feet are like thunderbolts to shatter the mountain of sin in our heart. So we have, that's our problem, why things are so heavy, because we're carrying around this mountain of sin. But all we have to do is just bring the lotus feet of Krishna in our heart. And it's like thunderbolts. It will get rid of this mountain of sin in our heart. Right? Thank you very much. Anybody else? Yes, Nari. Right. Okay, dry grasses might hurt his feet. And they do. They don't hurt it, but his skin changes color, as Vanamali was saying. Yes? Right. Okay, in the back, what's your name? Krishna Priya. Are you also Krishna Priya? What's your name? Yeah. Analakshita. Okay, I got you mixed up. Krishna Priya, right. Yeah, I got mixed up here. Okay, you're Krishna Priya. All right. Okay. Wherever Krishna's feet touch, it becomes so many fruits and flowers. And yes. Yes, Prashanta. The rock melts when Krishna walks on it. Yes. Yeah. With kumkum, so they become red. They take the dust. Right. Put it on them. Yes, Shimari. Bhumi Devi. Right. So Bhumi Devi, when he leaves her, then she feels great separation. Yes, Rukmavati. Ankle bells are there. Okay, we're getting higher now. Yes? Okay. Yes, they don't cover his, even the cows, nobody covers Krishna's footprints in Braj. So you can always see his footprints on the earth. If you ever go to Braj, Goloka Vrindavan, or Gokula. Yes, Krishna? Tulsi leaves, okay. Right. Question, all right. Oh, no one touched. Yeah, okay. They look, I would say. Or you know the answer. Okay. Well, they have both. Everything is conscious. The whole body is conscious, as far as I understand, in the spiritual body. You can see with your feet, you can see with your hands, and so the whole, your whole body is, can do what your other, just like Krishna. I've heard that for the spiritual body is like that. And we see that examples in the literature, Srimad Bhagavatam. When Dhruva Maharaj got darshan of Narayan, then he's, with his eyes he wanted to drink. And also it's talked a lot about drinking with your ears. That your ears are like a cup to drink the nectarian messages of Krishna. So yes, it's both answers. Either they could see it with their eyes, or they could see it with their feet, or anyway, they're conscious. Yes. You have a comment. Right. There's a different mood there. Different mood. Yes, somehow. Okay. Yes. Vatsalya Ras. Learning how to walk. Uh-huh. Okay, right. So Vatsalya Ras, they were meditating on his feet, small feet. Did you have your hand up? Shakadashara cart. Okay, the cart. Yeah, he kicked the cart demon as well as Kaliya. Not only Kaliya got it, yes. Yeah. When Krishna walks without shoes, the earth is very happy. Yeah, and Vaikuntha and Dwarka, he wears shoes, so she doesn't get to feel his feet. Okay, so now we'll go. Let's see if we have anything more. Oh yes, Krishna's lotus feet are compared to a boat also. What kind of boat is this? Anybody know this boat? Yes. The boat, we can cross the material ocean of material existence. Yes. Water in a calf's hoofprint becomes that small. Actually, the ocean becomes a ditch. The ocean, not even a ditch, just like in the hoofprint of a calf. If we just approach the boat of Krishna's lotus feet, then this whole material world shrinks. Now it's huge. We think, how am I ever going to get beyond it? But once we get in this nice boat of Krishna's lotus feet, it becomes very, very small. Yes. Okay, so don't offend anyone, or else Krishna's feet will feel it, because everybody is under Krishna's feet. Everybody in this world. And I wish all those people out there knew that, who are fighting right now. It's really a problem. So now we're going to move up to his lotus navel. Who can glorify Krishna's lotus navel? What do we know about Krishna's navel? Yes. Deep. It's very deep. How deep is it? Yes. Yes, it's so deep that the whole universe has come out of his navel. Yes. And lotus, yes, a lotus. Lotus navel. The lotus of the universe has come out. And on top of the lotus, Lord Brahma is sitting. So many planets, so many universes. No, only one universe from this lotus. But then we come to the next thing, Nama Pankaja Maline. And this is the mala. And Srila Prabhupada explains, what is this garland of lotus flowers? Srila Prabhupada says that Krishna is not so poor that he is the owner of simply one lotus-like universe. He has so many universes are coming out from him. So therefore, all these lotuses on the lotus garland, they're universes. Each lotus is one universe. And he's got a whole garland of such lotuses. So that's Krishna. Garland of universes. Just imagine walking down the street with a garland of universes. Very heavy. I mean, we hear of different types of garlands. I've seen in India, they make garlands of money. In special occasions, they give to people. Even to Krishna, they give these garlands of 100 rupee notes. Well, it used to be 10 rupee notes. Now it's gone up to 100. So they give these garlands. But Krishna, nobody can compare with Krishna. Nobody can have the kind of garlands he has. So this is Nama Pankacha Malini. Yeah, of course. He doesn't care for, and he doesn't even care for that garland. That's the amazing thing. He doesn't care for this garland of universe. He'd rather have Vijayantimala and Braj and just be known as a cowherd boy. He lets Vishnu take care of the universes, his expansion as Vishnu. So then we have Nama Pankacha Nechaya. His lotus eyes, his glance is as cool as a lotus. What can we say about Krishna's eyes? Seeing everything. Maya Adhyakshena Prakriti, is that it? Yeah, Maya Adhyakshena. Adhyaksha. Yes. He's cultivated? Captivated. Captivated by Radharani's eyes, yes? The universe. Yes, with his glance. Yes. They're reddish. Reddish eyes. Prashanta?
Restless.
Restless and reddish. Okay. Yes, so we should always come in front of Krishna to get his glance on us. Actually, something happens when Krishna looks at you, whether you know it or not. Yeah. Okay, one of the ways to get bhava is to get the glance of the Lord on you. Yes. That's right. Darshan means Krishna sees you. Yes. He can what? Eat. Oh, yes. Prabhupada says that. He explains that verse. Patram pushpam phalam toyam. Krishna can eat with his eyes. And also with his teeth. The universal form eats with his teeth. But Krishna likes to eat with his eyes. He's not so ferocious. Okay, I'll tell you a few things. Kapila says, the yogi should contemplate with full devotion the compassionate glances frequently cast by the Lord's eyes, for they soothe the most fearful threefold agonies of his devotees. So, also here it says, a yogi should meditate on the smile of Lord Hari, a smile which for all those who bow to him dries away the ocean of tears caused by intense grief. So this is what is in a glance, or what is in Krishna's eyes. It's very amazing. If we could actually see what was happening, we would be completely amazed, and we would be won over immediately, and we would surrender to Krishna right there. Otherwise, it takes a long time. So here in the purport, now we're near the beginning of this purport. This is verse 22. Srila Prabhupada is talking about the Archivigraha, or the deity of the Lord. This is about 10 lines from the top, the beginning of the purport. Srila Prabhupada says, such persons, although they are unfit to enter into the spiritual affairs of the Lord, can see him as the Archivigraha who descends on the material world just to distribute favors to the fallen souls, including the above-mentioned women, shudras, and dvijabandhus. So just like Kunti was saying that the Lord is invisible to the mudhas, the mudha drishas. So she was putting herself in that category. And she was saying, oh, you're not coming. You're coming here for the Paramahansas, but I'm just one of these mudhas. So now Prabhupada is saying here that actually, never fear. Although we're mudhas, although we're one of these people, you just have to go to the temple and see the Lord. And he will be visible to you if you want to have him. So here in the purport, a little bit down, the Pankajanabi Lord accepts the Archivigraha in different elements, namely form within the mind, wood, earth, metal, jewel, paint, sand, etc. All such forms of the Lord are always decorated with garlands of lotus flowers, and there should be a soothing atmosphere in the temple of worship to attract the burning attention of the non-devotees always engaged in material wrangling. So how many times our mind will be somewhere and then we go and see the deity in the temple and we feel pacified and we feel relieved and we forget our troubles if we actually get the glance. Yeah. Yes. Yes, yes. Yeah, the pilgrims who come here, especially, you know, Bengalis, look at Radharani. Oh, so kisundar. How beautiful. They'll comment, you know, and they'll be so just enchanted by seeing the deities. So we can also be like that too every day. It's different. It's different every day. So Prabhupada said in his lecture on this verse that Krishna is available if we want to capture him, if we want to catch him. We can catch him, actually. And he's telling us how to capture Krishna. It's not difficult. We just have to follow the process given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, hearing and chanting. And this way we can capture Krishna. We catch his attention by our hearing and chanting. So here in this class also, we're hearing and chanting Bhagavatam. So we're hoping to capture the attention of Krishna so that we can get some mercy, because we need mercy. So Prabhupada explained the importance of hearing and chanting on this verse and commenting on this verse. Srila Prabhupada said, our movement is meant for training spiritual leaders, but without hearing and chanting, it is impossible to become a leader. So if any of you want to become a leader, you have to hear and chant. Prabhupada said, of course, in the material world it is possible, but not in the spiritual world. So, and also Prabhupada, he was commenting on this verse, he said, if you just think of one verse your whole life, you just think of this verse, how Krishna's eyes are like the lotus, his feet are like the lotus, you can spend your whole life thinking about Krishna. Just meditate on one verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, and you can spend your whole life. And this is meditation. So speaking of meditation, I just have a little question. Did everybody here see the deities today? Everybody got darshan? Okay, so what color dress were the deities wearing? Yellow, very good. What color was the backdrop? Turquoise, blue, good. Okay, so you're actually seeing the colors. Shall we ask more intricate questions? What kind of garland was Krishna wearing? Was it lotus? No. Okay, that's good. So my next question is, besides going to Mangal Arati and Guru Puja and like that in the times we're supposed to go to the temple, how many people here spend more than 10 minutes in front of the deities every day? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Oh, very good. How many people here spend more than half an hour? 1, 2, 3, 4. Wow. So this is very nice. This is meditation. You spend time in front of the deities. You look at them. You chant to them. You reveal your mind. And you see what a difference it makes in your life. So Kunti's teaching us. She's meditating on Krishna, who's standing in front of her. And Krishna's standing in front of us every day too. We just have to go and make it a point to go and see him and meditate on him. And this Prabhupada said, this is none different from the yogis who can see Paramatma in the heart. Is when we look and we meditate on the deity in the temple, then it's the same as the yogi who is meditating on Paramatma in the heart. And it's even better, of course, because it's the original form of Krishna, whereas he's only getting Paramatma. Of course, Paramatma is also wonderful. If you can see Paramatma in your heart, it's a wonderful thing. But Prabhupada was making this point that how wonderful is the process of bhakti, that just what these yogis achieve after such intense endeavor, we can achieve by going to the temple and standing in front of the deities. And there used to be a picture in the old Bhagavad Gita where it showed a yogi sitting in his meditation and seeing Paramatma, his eyes closed. And then there is a devotee, and next to him there's a devotee sitting in the temple having kirtan and looking at the deities. So this is the point. It's very, very nice. Then this is the process. So I'll go on to the next verse. We do have time for verse 23 today.
Yata Hishikesha Kalena Devaki. Kangsena Rutati Chiram Shichapita. Vimochita Hamcha Sahatmaja Vipo. Tvayaiva Natena Mohar Viparkanat.
O Hrishikesha, Master of the Senses and Lord of Lords, you have released your mother Devaki, who was long imprisoned and distressed by the envious King Kamsa, and myself and my children from a series of constant dangers. So now Kunti has glorified Krishna, his position, his transcendental position, his name, his form, and now we're hearing about his qualities, activities, in relationship with his devotees. So these are all the aspects of Krishna that Kunti is describing, and here especially his aspect of protecting his devotees from danger. So Krishna, we have to know these things because we have to know Krishna in truth. Krishna says this in Bhagavad Gita, that we have to know him in truth. Does anybody know this verse where it says, anyone who knows me in truth, something happens? Anybody? What's that? Jamma karma chame divyam tatvata mam eti sorjana. Yes, very good. Anyone who understands the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not come back to this material world. So that's why it's so important to understand these things about Krishna, his name, his form, his qualities, his activities. So why does Krishna come here? Here he's saying he's coming to give relief to Devaki and Vasudeva, the Pandavas. They were put in such great danger. Here Devaki was put into danger by Kamsa. The Pandavas were also put into danger by Dhritarashtra. So according to Bhagavad Gita, why does Krishna come here? Yes? Glorify and enliven his devotees. That's a good reason. What does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Yeah? That's the primary reason. Very good. In the purport, yeah. Right. Any other expansion can actually annihilate the demons and establish religion. Right. So the main reason is to enliven his devotees. Very good. Okay, so here we see, and to relieve them of their feelings of separation. So this is the main reason. So here he's coming. It seems like he's coming to protect Devaki, but the real reason is to enliven Devaki and Vasudeva and relieve their feelings of separation. So, let me see here. Oh yeah, the point that Prabhupada made on this verse, how he's saving the devotees, the activities of Krishna, also again that Krishna is a person. That only a person can do this, only a person can protect you. That he's not nirakar. The same theme Prabhupada is saying. So Prabhupada said, just like myself, I'm not a dull stone also. I'm getting letters from my disciples, I'm answering them, so I'm also a person. In the same way, Krishna is a person. So here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada makes a distinction between how Krishna protected Devaki and how Krishna protected Kunti. So we'll see what Prabhupada says about that. There's a difference, actually. I'll read about three lines down. Four or five lines. Kunti Devi was also saved from a series of dangers along with her children. But Kunti Devi was shown more favor because Lord Krishna, did not save the other children of Devaki, whereas he saved the children of Kunti Devi. This was done because Devaki's husband Vasudeva was living, but Kunti Devi was a widow, and there was none to help her except Krishna. The conclusion is that Krishna endows more favor to a devotee who is in greater dangers. Sometimes he puts his pure devotees in such dangers, because in that condition of helplessness, the devotee becomes more attached to the Lord. The more the attachment is there for the Lord, the more success is there for the devotee. So here in the Sanskrit, it says, Muhur Vipadganat. So this means, muhur means 24 hours danger. Can you imagine living in danger 24 hours, always? all the whole day, muhur. And vipadganat means many, many dangers. Ganat means group. So not one danger. So many dangers they had to suffer, Kunti and her sons. Devaki only had one danger. They were put into jail. Or she was threatened to be killed, and her husband saved her. But now Kunti is her whole life, almost practically. She and her sons are in danger. So therefore, Krishna was always with her. So Prabhupada said, it's very surprising that here, these intimate devotees of Krishna, they had to suffer so many dangers. So we should not think that we are safe. This is the point. We shouldn't think I'm such a great devotee. Now Krishna is definitely going to take care of me. Of course, we should have that faith. But he may also put us in danger, you never know, just so that we can take shelter of him and depend on him. So Prabhupada said, if we're actually Krishna conscious, we'll face the danger and depend on Krishna. So we have to have this faith. And now it's very easy to understand how this world is a dangerous place. Everybody understands, not only the devotees, and it's a very dangerous place to be. And Prabhupada said, if you think we are very safe, we are very expert, we've made this place very happy, very nice place to live, then you're fool number one. So we should never feel like we've made it in a good way. So any questions at this point? And if there are no questions, I'll continue with the next verse. Yes. Contradictory. Yes. More helpless. So you think this is contradictory? Right. To increase. Okay. So why shouldn't he just be equal to all the devotees? Is that what you're trying to say? If a devotee is not in danger? Why is he more favorable to devotees who are in danger? Is that your question? Devotees who are so much in danger than Krishna is more. This is what Prabhupada is saying. So can anybody say something, would like to comment on that? Why? Yes, Srimati? Okay. See. They're taking risk for his purpose. Okay. Okay, so Krishna puts his devotee into danger for two reasons. So that he can glorify his devotee, to show how wonderful this devotee is. Because when the devotee is put into danger, all his good qualities come out, if he's a pure devotee. And if someone's not a pure devotee, he's put into danger, all his bad qualities come out. Someone's not a devotee. I mean non-devotees. You put them into danger, they get angry. Just like I was talking to Brahmananda, he was saying that the first reaction of the people in America was anger. You know, just why, you know, these people, we should finish them. So when you're put into danger, if you're not a devotee, you're thinking, why me? Why is this happening to me? It should not happen to me. Anyone else, yes, but me? These things don't happen to me. I don't die. I don't break my leg. This happens to other people, you know, on TV. We hear about it. We hear on the TV, we see these things, but it doesn't happen to me. So this is very, so we get angry. What kind of God is there? It's happening to me. Yeah, so, yeah, that's a good... And what was the other one? You gave two reasons. Okay. Oh, yes. Example. As an example. Okay. Any other comments on this? Vishakapriya? It's hard to understand the question. Yeah, reciprocates more with devotees in danger. Like a loving father. Yes. Yes. Yes, there's a story. There's a story like that. Akbar. That Akbar used to be the emperor in this area here. And he had a very intelligent minister named Birbal, I think that was his name. And Akbar couldn't understand why the Supreme Lord would come to this earth just to, you know, for his devotees. He said, you know, couldn't somebody else do this? You know, couldn't anybody else? So then Birbal did, he made a statue of Akbar's grandson. And he took the statue and he threw the statue into a pool. So his grandson was very, very small. And as soon as Alpar saw that statue of his grandson fall in the pool, he jumped from his throne and ran to save the grandson. So Birbal was showing, see, this is why Krishna comes. Even though he's the greatest, he's the most powerful, he sees his son in danger, he comes. He comes out of his love for his son. And so this is the point. It's loving reciprocation, yes. Jhopadi. Right. Right. Both hands. Yes. Being afraid, fear, is a sign of ignorance, okay? Having this material body, fearing. Right, he has a plan for everything. His pure devotees are surrendered, so they have no fear, okay? He would help the neophyte devotees more. Is that what you're saying? Because they have more fear. To increase their faith. The problem is this, and we'll talk about this, actually we won't have time today, but tomorrow I'm going to get a lot more into protection and how it works, how to get Krishna's protection. And what you've said just now is very much on that line. So I think I'd rather wait till tomorrow to, and I think your question will be answered at that point, because it's a very nice discussion. Srila Prabhupada brings up that point himself. That how, you know, what does it take to have Krishna protect you? And why a more surrendered soul will have more protection? So that point will be discussed tomorrow. So I think let's wait, and we'll see how Prabhupada, he can explain it better than me. And I have his quotes here from his lecture. So we'll do that tomorrow. But it is a very good question, and we will discuss it in detail. Yes. Many people ask that. Just off the top of my head, I can give you another example. Being a mother, of course I don't have many children, but a mother who has many, many children, if she hears the small baby, the infant crying, and she'll run to that infant first. Rather, you know, some older kids are fighting and one of them starts crying, and she hears the infant crying, the small baby, which one will she go to first? The one who's the most helpless, who's the most dependent on him. The others, they can take care of themselves. They feel that way also. The mentality of the neophyte is that he's depending on many things besides Krishna. So why should Krishna come? Whereas the pure devotee is depending only on Krishna. Yes? Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a good one. I heard that in class. Okay, let's see if I can remember it. There was one man. Yeah. That's the opposite, though. That's the opposite thing. Let me see if I can remember it. There was a flood coming, and this man, he was doing his puja. He was worshiping Vishnu, I believe. And this flood was coming, and his friends were saying, "Come on, you have to go. There's this flood coming. We have now. There's a jeep here. A jeep has come, or a bus has come. Let's get on the bus and go before the flood comes." So the man said, "No, no. Krishna will save me. Vishnu will save me. I will just stay here and do my puja. And you can go on the bus." So then he's doing his puja and the water is getting high. Then a boat comes. A boat comes. And the people in the boat say, "Come, come, the flood is getting very high. Come on the boat. We'll save you." And he says, No, I will wait for Vishnu to save me. I don't want to take your help." So then the boat goes away. Then finally he's up on the roof of his house. The flood is very high. And a helicopter comes. And they put down the ladder. And they say, "Please, come on the ladder. We'll save you." And he says, No. I'm waiting for Vishnu to come and save me." So then finally, the flood goes over his head and he drowns. And then he goes to Vaikuntha. And he sees Vishnu. He said, "Why didn't you save me?" So Vishnu said, I sent a bus. I sent a boat. I sent a helicopter. And still you didn't come." And so, what is the point of this story anyway? It seems like the opposite point they were trying to make, but that's all right. It's a nice story. Yes. Yes. Yeah, she's got her husband. Yes. Yeah, Devaki actually had a husband, and husband means protection. She's got some protection there. She's got some stability, security. Whereas someone, a woman without a husband, is very insecure. And it's very difficult, especially small children. And here she is all by herself trying to take care of these children. It's very difficult. I can tell you, a single mother, to discipline your kid is impossible. And so therefore, Krishna is helping her in this situation. And he's thinking, oh, she needs my help more. And we'll get to that. These verses later on, they will show how Kunti will say that you are the property of someone who is completely materially impoverished, who has nothing. Akinchana gocharam. Krishna, for one who has nothing to call his own in this world, then he has Krishna. If he's a devotee, of course. Not just somebody who's poor, materially, but someone who is a devotee. He may have nothing. But if he has nothing in this world to call his own, then he has Krishna. So, well, this is going to come up. It's very nice, all these series of verses, how depending on Krishna gives you everything, gives you Krishna. If you really depend on him, in danger. And it's very appropriate for today's age where there's so much danger, so much talk of danger. Yes. Next verse. Krishna puts his devotees to test their, to increase their attachment. Yeah, so her question is this, that here it says Krishna is putting his devotees into danger so that they will increase their attachment. And her question is, can't he find another way to decrease their attachment to him? And the answer is yes. And he has come here to give us other alternatives, like surrender, like the 9 processes of devotional service. There's an easy way. We can accept the easy way or the hard way. And here in Vrindavan, you can voluntarily accept austerity or you can be forced. So either way, you can make advancement. And that's the story. Yes. Yes. Okay. So both fear and fearlessness are created by Krishna. So in relationship with his devotee, sometimes he can use fear and sometimes he can use fearlessness. So we have to have... Can you give us an example of that? It's a very nice idea. But how to explain that? How to explain that? Sometimes he uses fear, yes? Gajendra, okay. Okay, good. Good example. So with Gajendra he used fear, with Prahlad he used fearlessness. Fanamali? Yes. Good. Good. So we should be afraid of Maya, Srila Prabhupada says. 10th canto, purport. Yes. Mayapur. Okay. The dacoits attacked the temple in Mayapur some years ago. Here's a true story. Bombs. They came with bombs, rifles.
So when they came, the management just went into hiding.
The management went into hiding.
Yeah.
Then?
Janivas?
They took Prabhupada and Radharani.
He's a really
relaxed, Jananivas, Pankajankri. They didn't see him. He emerged. Krishna brought his curtain down of Yoga Maya. So this is, he put his devotees into danger, and just see how your faith increases when you hear stories like this. I'm sure some of us have experiences where we depend on Krishna in these times of danger and we're protected. There are many stories with devotees. Sometimes you're in accidents, sometimes you're attacked. I know I'll just 1 minute left, so I'll tell one story about my god sister. When we were in Calcutta, she used to come to Mangalarti with her husband. And the streets of Calcutta are very dangerous early in the morning. So they were walking down the street, and then 4 people came with a big knife like this. And they wanted his watch. So he was taking off his watch and giving it to him. And then the wife thought that somehow they stabbed him. So she got so angry that she started shouting at them and at the top of her voice, Nisringa, and she took this, she had a small kitchen knife, about this big. She took the knife out of her purse, and she was shouting, Nisringa, Nisringa, and they got scared, and she started chasing them down the street with this little knife. She just went crazy, you know? And they got really afraid of her. So these things happen, you know? It's in these situations. So Krishna does, sometimes he does this to his devotees just to bring out their qualities that they didn't know they had. You know, she's a very skinny, thin lady, small, you know. It's just something came over her when she started chanting the name of Nisringa. Yes, completely surrendered, and even sometimes you don't have to be completely surrendered. Even you have a little surrender, and Krishna will put you there and protect you and increase your faith. Yes. Yeah, don't worry, he won't do it to you. It's only to glorify, only for those devotees who can actually... He sees what you need. He gives you what you need. If that's what you need, he'll give you that. And if you can't handle that, he won't give you that. I know in Russia I was preaching, and somebody was really afraid. They said, oh, you know, I heard that, you know, if you surrender, Krishna will take everything away from you. He says, I'm really afraid to do devotional service, because I'm afraid Krishna's going to take everything away from me. So I said, okay, well, I think it's okay if you chant. I think that's safe. Just chant. Just chant Hare Krishna. That's safe. Don't do these other services. Just chant Hare Krishna. And they said, okay, I'll chant. Anyway, we have these ideas. So tomorrow we'll find out more about this, about being in danger and responding to danger and what happens when Krishna takes everything away. Okay? All glories to Srila Prabhupada.